Good evening. I know for some of you, you might be getting tired of me. I don't blame you. I'm tired of myself. But nevertheless, I desire tonight to present you with a blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would trust that by the end of this meeting, if you are still without the knowledge, the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that you can join us singing genuinely, "Jesus, lover of my soul." That you might leave this place with committing your soul and surrendering to this blessed one. I want to read the three portions of the scriptures just to bring the greatness of the Lord Jesus, but also to bring before you the greatness of what he has done for you. And I want to turn to the book of Acts to do so, beginning from the book of Acts chapter 2. And I want you to listen carefully. And I trust that the Spirit of God will do his work. From verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." The book of Acts, chapter 10. The book of Acts, chapter 10, and beginning from verse 38. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." The book of Acts, chapter 17. And verse 31. "Because he appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all, in that he raised him from the dead." And maybe two more verses that came to mind. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. And verse 29. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. And verse 29. Come see a man. "Which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And the last verse from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, and verse 27. "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" By the help of the Lord this evening, I would like to talk about a very special man. But the reason the last two verses came to mind is I don't want you to lose sight of who is this man that we are talking about. I think the most familiar verse that people throughout the whole world are familiar with is, I would say, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And the measure of God's love that has to be related to men, the measure of it that God gave His only begotten Son, the unique Son. In which way did He give Him? The only way that God could give His well-beloved Son, that blessed one who is also God has to become man. Because I will do the gospel injustice if I only presented Him as a man. But the verse that came to mind in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8 is that men marveled, for they questioned within themselves, "What manner of man is this?" Why did they marvel? Because even the wind and the waves obey Him. Because that man that I desire to present you with is none other but God Himself. And that's why I want you to take hold of that truth. That the one the wind and the waves will obey, they will obey the voice of their Creator. And the scriptures and the Bible tells me that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? It was God. No wonder the Apostle Paul in the writings of Romans, he says, "He is over all, blessed forever." He's God. So God had made a wonderful creation. I was sharing with some brethren as I was picked up from the airport. I was marveling in this wonderful, beautiful country. It's so beautiful, you know. But nevertheless, when God made things, He made things beautiful, because the Bible says He has made things, all things beautiful in His time. But unfortunately, there was something that interrupted or tainted God's creation. And what tainted God's creation was sin that came into this world. And when sin came into this world, what happened? Death came in. A total separation from God came in. Because sin and God cannot be mixed together. And also the Bible will tell me that a man cannot give a ransom for a man. There is nothing that your father can do for you. There is nothing that your brother can do for you. There is nothing that your sister can do for you. The only thing that we can do for you, I always tell my own children, the only thing that mommy and daddy can do for you is bring you along to the meeting, to Sunday school, but there comes an age where you're going to make your own decisions. You can never be a Christian because your parents are Christians, you know. It has to be a personal experience that I surrender to the Lord and Savior of my life. I have accepted the gift, or the unspeakable gift of God. I have acknowledged that God loved me so much. And because I am such a sinful individual, because I am born in sin, God needed to find a remedy. You know why God needed to find a remedy? Because in your own sins, you can never approach God. In your own sins, you can never come to heaven. In your own sins, you will never be able to enter into the Father's house. God needed to find a remedy. He needed to find a way of escape. Man cannot redeem. Angelic beings cannot redeem. Nothing that we are familiar with naturally can redeem. Nothing that we are familiar with naturally can save, can deliver. And thus the only hope for mankind was that, and the Word became flesh. The Bible teaches me that great is the mystery of godliness, God manifested in flesh. The only remedy that can provide hope, that can provide salvation, that can provide where God can act in righteous ground is that the Lord Jesus Christ himself to become a man. And this is the man that God is speaking about. That this is why the whole creation will hearken unto his voice, because he's the creator. But that blessed one who's the creator, a body thou hast prepared for me. He had to come in manhood, perfect manhood. And that's why, dear saints of God, for us that we are in the likeness of God. But when the Lord Jesus came in manhood, he was in the likeness of man. He came as a man. Sin apart. Did new. In him there was no sin. And that's why we read in the gospel of two, in the book of Acts chapter 2, that this man has been approved. Throughout the history of mankind, there was no possible way, even all the sacrifices that were offered upon the altars, they could not remove sin forever and please God eternally. It was impossible. And that's why the book of Acts chapter 2 tells me about this blessed man, who is none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man approved by God. That this, or in other translations, that he was witnessed to by God. God has stamped upon him his stamp of approval. And as if God is saying that if there is any way, if there is any chance for mankind to be brought back into relationship with God, it can only come through the man that I have approved. That I have placed my stamp of approval. And that's why the Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth and he was speaking to his disciples, he says, I am the way, the truth and life. What? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, we are living in an age where there is a variety of religions. And mankind would like you to think that whatever way you want to believe in, that's okay. Because all will lead to God. Another lie of Satan himself. Because I dare to tell you, my dear friend, that if there was a way, if it was possible for whatever thing you want to believe in, if it was possible that by your own righteousness, by your own works, you can inherit eternity. You know, this man came to the Lord Jesus, he says, what must I do to have eternal life? It was the wrong question. There's nothing to do, but it has everything to do with believing in Christ Jesus. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Because he is the man that has been approved by God. And God approved him with signs and wonders. But in every portion we read in the book of Acts, that the first one, he was the man that was approved by God. And yes, he went about doing good. He did miracles. So that man could see what was in the heart of God. It was a heart of love. No wonder the scripture is full of verses that speaks of the love of God. For God so loved the world. In the book of Malachi, the book enters with this statement. Jehovah said, I have loved you, said the Lord. I have loved you with an everlasting love. There's no conditional love. God loved you so much to the measure that he sent his only begotten son, a man approved of God, so that you will put your trust in him, so that you will surrender to him, so that you will be like this publican tax collector who really was bumping and hitting his chest and not willing to look upward. He understood his condition. He understood that he was born in sin. And he has no place to be close and have a relationship with God. He understood that because he was born sinful man, that there is no place for him in heaven. And all what he can utter is, God, have mercy on me. I am the sinner. And my dear friend, I am so thankful. I say it constantly, that I don't know your heart. Even for many that have been coming along for many years to this place, I am not sure where the heart of man is. And I'm thankful the Bible says the Lord knows them that are his. We don't. And that's why it is so important to keep presenting the glad tidings concerning his son. Because you might have been sitting here for years. You might have been sitting here for several weeks. But you are still without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as Savior. Is it possible? While Judas the Iscariot was with the Lord for many years. It is possible. It is possible. But oh, my dear friend, God said, this man is approved by me. And God not only approved him by his works, not only approved and witnessed about Christ in giving wonders and miracles, but God has stamped his approval on the Lord Jesus by raising him from amongst the dead. And this is what I want you to understand, that the preaching of the gospel is not about a man that died on Calvary's cross only, although he did. It is not only about the blessed one that shed his blood so that he can wash your sins away. It is not only one who can be on that Calvary's cross getting the judgment from the hand of holy God. And all what he can utter, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. I know I will trust that you will be a soul that even tonight, you will enjoy the truth of the forgiveness of sins. To be able to leave this place tonight in the enjoyment that my sins have been forgiven. Why? Because God has approved this man. And he has displayed his approval by raising him from amongst the dead. He's not a dead Savior, you know. He is a living Savior. And that's why you need to put your trust in him. Because he is the only one that have conquered death. He is the only one that has conquered sin. He is the only one who annulled the power of death. And he is the only one that God has invited him to sit. Sit at my right hand. And oh, if you can accept him as Lord and Savior even tonight. To accept him as the lover of your soul, you can see in the eyes of faith that the Lord Jesus seated at the right hand of God, crowned with glory and honor. That is the man who's been approved of God. That's the man that God gave witness about. No wonder heavens have been opened. This is my beloved son in whom I found all my delight. Hear ye him? And the same message and the same voice from God is still echoing in our days. Hear ye him? And what is the Lord Jesus saying in our days? Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. If you are looking for rest, you're not going to find it in the world. If you are looking for rest, you're not going to find it in yourself. If you are looking for rest, you're not going to find it in the entertainment of this world. If you are looking for rest, it can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives a rest for the conscience. He gives a rest for the soul. He gives a rest for a while in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. But he also gives eternal rest. Why wouldn't you come to the Savior even tonight? Why wouldn't you just stand by God's side and accept this blessed one that has been approved by God? I want to tell you, there is nothing greater in life than for any soul to make such a decision. There is a hymn that I love tremendously. It's very dear to me. It's one chorus. Some brethren that go to Grove City would know that I will always call it out. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There is nothing greater in life for the soul to experience. That Christ's residency has been in my own soul. There's nothing greater for a soul to hear these words of the Savior, go thy way, your sins are forgiven. There's nothing greater in life. You can experience that by coming to the Savior, by responding to his blessed voice, by taking heed to what Paul has presented, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of it. That Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. It's worthy of all acceptation to accept the man who has been approved by God. When we go to Acts chapter 10, we read about another word that the Spirit of God would use when Peter was speaking once more. He says how God anointed the Lord Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are all witnesses of these things. In verse 40, God raised him on the third day and showed him openly. Not only that he was the man approved by God, but he was also the man that was anointed by God. The work of anointment has two parts, and I want to dwell into the second part of it. That there is no question that in the Old Testament, when someone was anointed, is the ability to accomplish or to do a certain office, to occupy a certain office. Prophets were anointed, right? Priests were anointed. Kings were anointed. But with anointment, there is another truth to it. And I want to suggest what God is doing regarding his son in the work of anointing with the Spirit and with power. That God is making him the preeminent one. You still remember what that woman we discussed earlier, what she did with her tears. She washed his feet, but you gave me no water. But what did he say also? That also she has anointed me. What was she doing with the anointing? She was anointing him that he is the preeminent one. He is the only one. He is the first and the last. And listen, God's message in our days is that the Lord Jesus is not another way of salvation. He is the only way of salvation. And that's why when the disciples preached the gospel in the book of Acts chapter 4, Peter had to say, there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. We are living in a time, we said that there is a plenty of religion. Whatever you want, we have it. Satan is trying to sell you whatever way you like it. Oh, I'm telling you, one of the things that he sells very well, that by my own righteousness, I'm going to go to heaven. You do good works and you will measure it at the end and you will go to heaven. That is foolishness. The Bible freely tells us and clearly that by grace ye are saved. And that is by faith. That is nothing of you. It is the gift of God. Why is it the gift of God? Not by works, lest any man what? Should boast. If I could go to heaven in my own ability and due to my wonderful righteous works, I can go into heaven. I can tell you I will be boastful eternally. I will be in heaven boasting all eternity because I have made it my way to heaven and God will never accept it. It is not by your own works. Adam tried it, you know. Our grandfather, he tried it. When he sinned against God, the first thing, what does he do? He tries to cover his nakedness with the fig leaves that he made. His son tried it. The Lord said, give me an offering. I want to see a sacrifice. He said, no, I'm going to bring you from what I planted. He tried it. And man is still trying it. They're still trying to cover their nakedness. You're still trying to win heaven through your works. It's not going to work. Because the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ our Lord. He that have the Son has life. And he that does not have the Son shall never see life. But the wrath of God shall abide on him. This man was anointed by God. He gave him a special place in all creation. He gave him a work, a certain work, to die for you, to die for me. The Lord Jesus said that it is his will to do the will of him that sent him. And what wasn't the will of God? My dear friend, please contemplate the thought with me. What was in the will of God? There was you. It was me. In the will of God. You will never know that until you come to Christ. He loved me from before the foundation of the world. He made me accepted in the beloved. All these things were on his heart. But they were confirmed to me when Christ Jesus died there on Calvary's cross for me, because he's been anointed by God. Not only the one who has been approved, but also the one who is able to accomplish a work that no other would be able to. Michael the archangel could not redeem your soul, you know. You know, sometimes people... Is this water? Yes? Trying to figure it out. I got it. I'm sorry. I thought maybe in England we drink water differently. There is no other one that could do such a marvelous work. Michael the archangel, you put any person, there is only one that God has anointed because he's competent in his own person to do a work that nobody else can do. And that's where it comes again. It says in that chapter, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. There is no spiritual healing apart from the Lord Jesus. And I want to tell you, as far as the scripture is concerned, if you have rejected God's love, if you have rejected the gift of God, if you have rejected the work of the Lord Jesus, you are still under bondage to the devil. And you are in bondage to sin. And there is only one who can set you free. The Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, he was quoting Isaiah, said, the Spirit of God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. And if you desire to be free from the bondage of Satan, the one who will oppress you, the one who have every desire to bring you where he will end up in the lake of fire, you have to trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, because he's a man approved of God, but he's also the one anointed by God. Come to the Lord Jesus. It's worth it, I tell you. It's really worth it. Because what will cost you, will cost you a great cost if you will still reject him, and the Lord will come this moment. There's no second chance, my dear friend. It's a scary thought. When you think of souls that have heard the gospel time after time, and their heart is still hardened, no wonder the Lord Jesus, when he's pleading with his people today, if thou shalt hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden it. Make it soft. Make it ready for Christ to find his residence in your own soul. Or else you will end up where Satan will end up. And it will be sad. There's one that have told Paul in his preaching in the book of Acts. He was telling him the same gospel. How God from the beginning presenting his well-beloved son. And providing this wonderful good news regarding salvation. And this man can only look at Paul at the end. Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. almost persuading you to be a Christian means nothing if you don't become a Christian. You might spend all eternity in the eternal lake of fire thinking, I almost became a Christian. And that word almost became Christian might separate you from God eternally. Don't be almost becoming Christian. Just become a Christian by accepting Christ, because He's the one approved by God and He's the one anointed by God. Dear brethren, I have to say it in this way. Forgive me. The brethren are kind. They will forgive me. But you know, the Lord Jesus, when He spoke about the Father in so many ways, He will give an example of an earthly father. And if your earthly fathers can give good gifts, how about your heavenly Father, right? He brings examples of things that we are familiar. Do you think for a moment that if I was required to give one of my children up, if I had to, I will do so if there was some other way? If there was a way for heaven, if there was a way to have a relationship with God, if there was a way for me to say, for my soul to be saved other than Christ Jesus, do you think God would have delivered him up for us all? Do you think God would have judged him the same way He would have judged sin? We would never have the courage to bring it to our own lips to say it, that He was made sin. The only thing that gives us the, somehow you say it and you are really, I don't know the expression, you're a little shaken to say about the Holy One who knew no sin, that He was made sin for us. But that's what He was made there on Calvary's cross for you. Take the word for us aside a little bit. Just put your name there. He was made sin for John. He was made sin for me. And I will dare to say no to it. And I will dare to say, well, there is another way. And I will dare to say I have my own way. When God gave the Son of His love to redeem your soul and mine. We understand that from a natural point of view, dear saints. I would never give my own child up, even if it takes to help my other child, whatever the circumstances are, if there is another way to do so. And God, in love divine, He knew that there was no other way, so He anointed this blessed one. He anointed His well-beloved Son and came in manhood so that He can give you a way of escape. So that He can be a refuge city for you. So that you can spend eternity with Him. So that one day when the Lord Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled, in my Father's house are many abodes, so that you can spend eternity in the Father's house. That's the beauty of the gospel. It is not only a gospel that God is delivering me from hell and from judgment. Salvation is only the mean, but it's the gospel of the glory. It's the gospel concerning His Son. It's the gospel that's not only just delivering me from that which I deserve, judgment, but it's bringing me to the Father's house. The glad tidings is that not only God took a sinner and delivered him, but the glad tidings that He would make me a son. And the grace of God will not only bring me back to where Adam was. Many of us, we would be happy if He only delivered my soul and brought me back all the way to the age of innocency. Because Adam was innocent. He wouldn't just bring me back to the Garden of Eden. And as I said, many of us will be happy to remain in the Garden of Eden. But the glory of His grace will bring us to a better place, will bring us to the very dwelling of God Himself, will bring us to the Father's house. That's why it is the gospel of the glory. My dear friend, this is the man approved of God. This is a man that's anointed by God. But when we come to the last chapter, or the chapter that we read from, chapter 17, He has appointed a day by which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man He has ordained, and has given assurance unto all men by raising Him on the third day. We have this wonderful hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. And I will trust that even this evening, you might repeat and rehearse that in your own soul, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. The last egg that I want to talk about is that He has appointed a day. A man approved of God. A man anointed by God. And a man ordained by God to judge the world in righteousness. The fullness of the glad tidings is this. Not only to present you that God is love. Because God is love. And as I said earlier, there is plenty of verses that will speak to us about love divine. The love of the Father, the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus. No wonder when Paul met the Savior on his way, Paul was so much overwhelmed with this love, and he said, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He could never forget that love that sought and found him. It was the love of the Savior. Luke chapter 15 tell me the kind of love that He will go after the sheep. The Lord Jesus is the one who came to your circumstances. He is the one who came from the highest heights of glory to meet your own needs in your own circumstances. Because He loved you. And because He's still warning you, it is still a day of grace. Come unto me. He is still asking you, follow me. There is a woman that came in contact with Him, and that's why I wanted to read just her word, just her invitation. She was a woman that lacked love. She has never experienced in her life real love. Why is that? Why do I say that? Because she was married so many times. And she said to the Lord Jesus, of indeed, of fact, of a truth. He says, the Lord Jesus told her, the man that you dwell with or you live with is not your man. It's not your husband. But she was married many times. Why does a person married so many times? Because she was looking for love. Until she found the lover of her soul. No more husbands from there. She found the lover of her soul. And yet the Lord Jesus, it was said before He entered and started talking to this woman, He must need to go through Samaria. The Lord Jesus needed to go through this town. Because His love will not be denied. And oh, this woman that married once and twice and third time and fourth time and thus far and etc. Because she lacked being loved. Have come in contact with the source of love. She came in contact with the Lord Jesus. And I could tell, dear brethren, I could say, if she knew that hymn we sang tonight, she will be the first one to sing it. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Lover of my soul. But oh, this blessed one that has been appointed and anointed. He has been approved and anointed to save, to redeem, to reconcile, to sanctify, to save, to bring many sons to glory. And that's your moment for you to become part of this company. Because that same blessed one has been ordained to judge. The same one who has been approved by God to bring forth blessing to men is the same one who has been ordained by God to judge all things. Just a sip of water. When you have a little children, I still have little ones. I love to be with them. I miss them, truthfully. You always think about their eternal destiny. Always. And I want to share this with you. Since they're not here, I share it with the brethren. And with my dear friend, whoever is here that doesn't know Christ. So far, all of them confess to know Christ as Savior. And that's the greatest joy. But as a father, I always claim before my God that the Lord would not allow one of my children to perish eternally. All parents will do the same thing. All parents have the same desire. It's like Paul. He would say that I will be cursed for the sake of my brethren. That he was willing to be cursed for the sake of the brethren whom he loved. But my children always wondered, why do I impress upon them Christ? And my response was always that if God will give me the opportunity to say, one day in heaven, I and the children whom thou hast given me. That's why we preach the gospel. As parents, we want to say, I and the children whom thou hast given me. They're all coming with us to glory. That's why we present you the gospel, my dear friend. Because knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade many. There was in the Old Testament a story when Joseph was rejected by his brethren. And of course, we know the history. We're not going to repeat the story. But here they come back and he tells them, do you have a brother? And you know the story, they have to bring Benjamin. And when he saw Benjamin, of course, he wanted to touch their conscience of all the things they have done. And he said, you know what, go back to your father, but keep Benjamin here. And Judah comes close to Joseph and said this in the ear of Joseph. How could I go to my father without the lad? And my dear friend, I want to confess before you, if you are without the Lord Jesus, I always would say and rehearse this in the ears of my God and my Lord and Savior, how could I go to my father without the lad? And maybe your parents for many years have been praying to God that thou will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Because for so many years, they have been rehearsing in the ears of God, how could I go to my father without the lad? We desire that all of us here tonight, that if the Lord Jesus would come this moment, that we would respond to his voice when he would say, come, my love, come with me. And we will all be caught up in the air and forever to be with the Lord. But if you, my dear friends, still sitting here year after year, week after week, and yet you still haven't accepted the Lord Jesus as the one approved of God, anointed, ordained to be the judge, He's going to judge. I will say this, and I will close with that. You will meet the Lord Jesus. You're going to meet Him. You're going to meet Him. You can either meet Him as the Savior tonight. Come see Him, man. You will either meet Him as a Savior, or you'll either meet Him as the judge. That's your choice tonight. If you will meet Him as the judge, I'm going to tell you what the Bible tells me. Your eternal destiny is not going to be heaven. Your eternal destiny is going to be complete separation from God in the outer darkness, in the lake of fire. And if you will not refuse, if you will refuse Christ, will not bow the knee to Him tonight and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I surrender to You. I want You to be Lord over my life. Let me assure you, my dear friend, you are going to bow the knee. So that's what I want to close with. You will meet my Savior, you know. You will meet Him. There's no escape. That's based on the authority of the Word of God. You will meet my Savior. You will meet my Lord. I trust that you will meet Him tonight as a Savior. Because if you will say no to Him as a Savior, you're going to meet my Savior as your judge. When He would look at you and tell you, I know you're not. I know you're not. You will either make a decision tonight to bow to my Lord and Savior and say, yes, Lord Jesus. Or I can assure you from the Word of God, there will be coming a day when every knee shall bow. Every knee, including yours. And every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether we are saints or whether we are sinners and we are taken away from the scene, we will all be in tune with God's mind. Because even the sinner will find out that God was right and He was always right. Why don't you come to the Savior even tonight? I want to close in a little hymn, maybe a chorus of it. I think it's number 149. Yes. 149. And maybe we can sing verses, the whole verse.